How are you doing today?
Oh, well, I'm fine.
All
Just
right.
being pestered by cats.
All right. My name is Doug, and I'm the one who corresponded with you a couple years ago to book the show, but I was having a baby at that time, and so I wasn't able to be part of that interview.
Well, see, if you were having a baby, what was your wife doing?
She was comforting me.
Calling Ripley's?
Yeah, exactly. I was definitely helping for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you felt every pain.
You have no idea. Okay. So if you're all set and ready, the way we've kind of evolved into doing this is we count backwards, we start a clock, we read a short introduction, and then we go for 42 minutes, normally
Oh,
arriving.
so I don't get interrupted for commercial breaks?
No commercial
No.
breaks.
Ah, interesting. You'll put them in later.
No,
Ah, you need sponsors.
we do need sponsors. This is true.
We do not have sponsors, though,
Kind of
remember.
the show started as a way of selling our own book. We had a bunch of friends who wrote an anthology on synchronicity, and then this was a way of selling it by talking to each of the people who wrote chapters in this book, and then it just kind of developed into a thing. And so part of what I guess what we're selling, if that's what we're doing, is pointing people at our book that we wrote a couple years ago.
But
But so
there
I
won't be
did
any commercials.
yeah, we don't ever do any commercials.
look at Amazon, but I haven't read your book.
That's okay. That's okay. And so, let's see. I'm recording. I'm set up. I've got my clock ready to go, and now
All
I
right.
just need my
We have a number of readings here. Okay, let's see here. I'm ready, Doug. So I believe I start if you want to count down.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And so here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thank you so much, Tessa. This was fun.
I can't believe the time is up already.
Yeah, there was a thought that I had. We're preparing for another show at the end of the month about Jack Parsons, and so it's too bad that these shows happen so quick that I oftentimes cross wires and confuse. I think Jack Parsons didn't have. I think his wife. His mother left his husband too at a time. So Jack Parsons grew up without a father figure, is what I'm trying to say. And so I was confusing the two. But the interesting thing is that I think he influenced Robert Heinlein. And so I've been reading Stranger in a Strange Land, which I haven't ever read before. And I know that Phil had a personal connection with him somehow too.
Well, it was odd. Phil always believed that Heinlein was some kind of right-wing nut, and Heinlein had been an officer in naval intelligence, and I think his wife Ginny was too. But Heinlein wanted to meet him at the Nebula Awards ceremony. I think that was 73 or 4, probably 3. Anyway, Phil chickened out. Either he was afraid to meet Heinlein or he really was ill. I don't know which, but I went without him. And Robert Heinlein had a box of Phil's books that he wanted Phil to sign for him. He was a fan.
Huh.
And we all corresponded for some time. But Heinlein was much more complex than just this former military officer with right-wing views. And if you read Stranger in a Strange Land, you can see that. But he really did live in a gated estate. Heinlein said that one time the IRS came knocking without an appointment, and he refused to let them in. He said, I'm busy writing a book. Make an appointment. And they said, but you don't answer your phone. And he said, that's right. I'm writing.
Now, I think I also read that the IRS confiscated one of Phil's cars because he decided he was part of something where he didn't pay taxes during the Vietnam War. Do you know that story? Is that true?
I never heard of that. It might be an apocryphal story.
Yeah, it might be. It seems like people say a lot of stuff after the fact.
Yeah, I've been learning a lot about Jack Parsons. Apparently, L. Ron Hubbard stole his wife.
Oh.
And then Parsons got blown up in his home lab.
I've heard some similar, yeah.
Yeah.
He's
interesting character.
Yeah, it really is, because he definitely has this American California Western flavor, but then it's both. He's got this public face where he started the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and built rockets to the moon, but then he was also a magician studying Aleister Crowley.
Yeah, he was summoning demons out in the desert. It makes me wonder, though, because Parsons was so successful, why did we need the Nazi paperclip scientist?
Huh.
Maybe because Parsons got blown up?
Maybe. One of the strange synchronicities about Parsons, too, is that I think the Jehovah's Witness preacher said that the day the end was beginning was the day that Jack Parsons was born. And Jack Parsons said that he's the Antichrist. But it's also the day that World War I began. So I think that was October 2nd, 1914. And it's like that's the synchronicity that begins the Jack Parsons mythos, that he's...
Oh, I see. So he was born the day the Archduke was shot?
But yes, possibly.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, so like when we get too deeply into the historical events of reality, you begin to wonder if, you know, Phil really wasn't on to something about it's not real.
Yeah, well, you know, there are curious scientists are running computer simulations to see whether they're indistinguishable from reality. In some sense, this world is not real. We're made primarily of empty space with a few bits of energy vibrating. When you get to the level of the atom, there's nothing there, almost nothing. And yet, if you run into a brick wall, it hurts. It isn't solid, it's electromagnetic. So when the ancient Greek philosophers said that the universe is made of music, they were right.
I think, yeah.
Yeah?
Quantum physicists are coming around to these same thoughts. And then,
yeah, they have been for some time.
Yeah. There was a...
And people in other fields can say that they're not real scientists because they're too crazy. Oh, I can unmute the game of solitaire now.
So one of the things that we do is we have a, so you were concerned about commercial intrusions. We definitely don't have any commercial intrusions. We do a little bit at the beginning and the end, but one of the things that we do is we try and sell memberships, and we offer exclusive content. May we use the stuff that we've recorded after the 42 minutes as a kind of a member bonus?
Wow. I see. So we're recording.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never push stop. If you want, we can just say.
Okay. I haven't cussed yet, so it's all right.
Cussing is okay, but if you said something, I mean, occasionally we'll have a guest say, you know, off the record, what I'd really like to say is.
Right. We just like people to know.
We don't want to. Yeah. We're not a gotcha journalist outlet. We're just.
Well, let's go back to Patty Duke for a second. What were we talking about, Patty Duke?
We were never talking about Patty Duke.
Somebody mentioned Patty Duke.
Okay. Well, I figure the NSA hears everything I say anyway, so who cares? Yeah, some court finally ruled their surveillance unconstitutional, but didn't order them to stop it. It's all a shell game. They're frightened. Whoever's really in power is afraid, very afraid.
Very paranoid.
Yep.
Okay.
And as long as they're afraid, we have a chance. You're beeping.
It's my, that, you know, the, how I told you about my baby? He's...
Oh, that's the monitor.
You know, he's gotten a hold of my phone, and he's over there pushing buttons, and he's just having a gay old time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's funny, because like I was saying, time is weird for me these days. It doesn't seem like that long ago that Will talked to you, but here's this creature that's 21 months old, 22 months old, that wasn't...
They grow up fast, and they'll never be that young again.
Exactly.
Just... So enjoy it while you've got it.
Yeah, you can...
I hope eventually you get 8 hours of sleep in a night.
He's a pretty good sleeper, so I can't complain there, but he definitely has a big personality.
Well, that's good. Well, my baby didn't sleep through the night till he was a teenager, and I had to roust him out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, I hear you there. I've got some older kids too. You know, that's worth a question. So in Valis, you know, part of the mystique is that Phil had this precognitive event where he was able to diagnose Christopher's medical problem. Is that embellished, or is that pretty much the truth?
Oh, it's highly embellished. It was not an emergency the way Phil described it. Phil seemed to be in a trance. He got up from his nap, walked out to the living room, and said, "Call the doctor and tell him that our son has an inguinal hernia." So I did, and I got an appointment for a couple days later. And then the doctor referred us to a specialist who said, "Well, he's too young to have the surgery. You'll have to wait till he's 18 months old. So in the meantime, don't let him cry, because the hernia could strangulate, and that could kill him." And, of course, Phil has it being an emergency that night in the emergency room and all kinds of trauma. But it is a better story the way he tells it.
Of course, but still it's a paranormal event, wouldn't you call it?
Yeah. Phil, when he was conscious, had no idea what he was talking about. And people say, well, you know, Phil had a hernia, so he knew about those things. But it's not the same thing. Phil got a hernia while playing tennis because his wife, Anna, always beat him, and he wanted to win. He overdid it. Yeah, that's a completely different thing from what Christopher was born with. I should have known, but it didn't really click with me what was going on.
Are you happy with the way that he portrays you? Or was there any resentment out of you guys towards the end?
We talked about it. He had to edit what he had said about me. Apparently, his agent thought that I could sue him over what he originally wrote. Not that I would. But, his agent made a suggestion, and Phil said, I am not going to use that word for the mother of my child. So it came, in Dallas, it came out, Beth was a witch with a B.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, I think that it is time for everybody to get about their day. It has been a pleasure talking to you today.
Well,
it really has been. Yeah, I've enjoyed it. And I'm really curious. I'm sad to say I haven't read. I've definitely dipped in and tasted a lot of the different things that you've written, but I haven't sat down and really read any of your works aside from the cookbook now. And so, do you recommend me reading? I'm curious about the three memoirs. Should I read them chronologically? What do you suggest?
Well, since your focus is on Phil, you should read Philip K. Dick, Remembering Firebright, which talks about his mystical experience of the 1970s.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. You need to look carefully at the descriptions. The shorter books are simply preview editions of the longer memoirs. So there is a lot of material repeated.
Okay. So
I have to apologize for the typos, but when I read traditionally published books, I find typos in them too.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, right. Of course.
It isn't totally wild that I missed a few.
Nope. And
Firebright is being translated into Italian. And
wow.
one of my shorter essays is about Phil. It's being translated into French.
Wonderful.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So I'll have a wider audience, even though many Europeans do read English, many of them do not.
Yeah.
You know, he's got quite a big fan base overseas as well. I know he has a lot of fans in France, for sure.
During his lifetime, most of his income came from France. And his editor, Patrice Duvic, had a lot to do with that.
Wow.
There's that funny moment in a Woody Allen film where his film is totally bombing and then it's a hit in France and he says, God bless the French.
Yep.
I think
yep.
David Lynch experiences, you know, the same kind of thing. That there's something.
Yeah. I'm disappointed that his new Twin Peaks was canceled.
Well, I think they're still, it seems like the cast is still fighting to make it happen, but I'm pretty pessimistic at this point.
I didn't like the movie at all, but the TV series was great.
It really was. Will is just watching it now, and he's enjoying it.
Yeah, I think I'm only on episode 5 or something like that. For some reason,
Yeah.
I've never gotten to see it until now, so.
Well, everybody I ran into when it was a new show was saying, "Who killed Laura Palmer?" And they were all eating cherry pie. Yeah.
Oddball. I got to episode, I mean, it's a soap opera. Doug and I were just talking about this, and then I get to episode 3 or 4, and things get really weird, and I'm like, what just happened? I couldn't stop thinking about it. It's so unsettling, and I can only imagine what it would be like to view it in that time of, what was it, 91,
Yeah.
92. I don't think that there was anything out there even close to like that back then. I don't think people had seen stuff like that before.
Oh, had the X-Files started yet?
I don't think so.
I think they started
The
soon
Twilight Zone.
after.
You could say the Twilight Zone and Amazing Stories and those kind of things were.
Yeah, but even then, it's like almost those. I mean, Twilight Zones, Outer Limits, they're specifically weird intentionally. This kind of weird is unsettling. This is like, it's weird, but sometimes you don't know how exactly it is weird, and then it's just unsettling, I think.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Don't try to make sense of it. It doesn't.
All
And
right,
on the
well, I'm
flip
gonna
side,
check out.
we're like, you know, Amazing Stories and stuff of those nature are designed to be strange but make sense at the end. I've been watching a lot of Twilight Zones too. I love old Twilight Zones. I'll watch those back to back to back. And it's interesting because, like you said earlier, you know, they didn't have special effects in Radio Free Albemuth. The same thing is true for Twilight Zone. So it's all mere storytelling. And it's interesting because even though it's black and white and it's not only your face and so forth and so on, my kids will retain attention with Twilight Zone. You know,
Oh, yeah.
all that other junk that gets thrown at them, they're on their phones, they're doing this, they're doing that, but they'll sit down and watch a Twilight Zone from start to finish because somehow, just through storytelling perfection, they grab you and they got you.
Yep.
But like we say, we keep saying it, guys. We can talk like this all day, but I have to get moving. It's been a pleasure. You guys have a wonderful day, okay?
Okay, you too.
Yeah.
Now I should do something useful like feed a cat or
Sure.
something.
I'm
Or write a book.
write a
Well, there
book.
you go.
I'm thinking that I'm gonna check out Firebright like you're recommending, and then maybe,
We'll talk to you again
yeah,
later.
maybe in the fall we'll spend another 42 minutes with you on Firebright. Or maybe, you know, if Christopher gets his book written, that would be interesting too. We'd love to check that out for sure. So,
Okay.
thanks for your time, and I'll send you a link when it's done.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
You bet. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.